For the reading of the Gospel as the Lord continues to speak to us from the Gospel of Matthew 18. Then Peter came up and said to the Lord, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.'" Now, 10,000 talents at that particular time would be a couple billion today. That would take him a long time to pay that one back, right? That's the most important thing. How long will it take us to pay back the Lord for our sins? We don't have enough time. No way. "And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their master, all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father would do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one of the obvious questions in our particular text right now is, well, why did he not have mercy on the other servant? And if you really follow the way the line of the text goes, Mike, I really love what you say, you know, that liberalism is a mental disorder. That's very true. It's impossible for this man to pay this debt, as it is impossible for us to pay our debt to God. Absolutely impossible. Yet, what does he do? He goes out and he's going to collect the money that everyone owes him so that he can pay it back. He's actually trying to pay it back to stand on his own, free from the responsibility of being under the master's grace. Let me say that very carefully again, so that he's free of grace. I don't want to owe anybody anything. I am a self-made man. So I will pay this back no matter what it costs, or how hard I have to work to get it, or who I have to beat up or put in jail or abuse. I am going to be free of this man's mercy. Boy, I wonder if we struggle with that. I'm sure the world does, but I wonder if we struggle with God's mercy. You know, over and over, knows Christian faith, Judaism, all the other religions, it's constantly trying to negotiate with God on some sort of equal terms, isn't it? I'll give you this, you give me that, we'll work this out together. This is a constant theme that's constantly happening. We're constantly bargaining and trying to negotiate. We don't want, so many of us, we don't want His mercy. Because doesn't that put us in deeper debt? What can we give to God the Father for His Son? He gave us His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. What can we give Him in return for that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than love. Love. Yeah. Absolutely. So today's question and the theme that we have, and I'm looking at all three of our texts, is why do we need to forgive? Why do we have this need to forgive? Not on ourselves, but God has this need and desire for us to forgive. Why are we here today? It's the same question, by the way, why we are here today. Forgiveness and being in church are tied together in a profound way according to the Epistle of James. I was reading an article that I was sharing yesterday from C.S. Lewis, written in 1947. And he said, he was talking about the revival and decline of Christianity in England. And he made the comment, the church isn't any less than it used to be. The average time for chapel prayers during the week, we had maybe 35 to 60 people, usually men, showing up for prayer. Higher percentage in the countryside than in the cities. And today we're lucky if we get 3 or 5. So on the surface it looks like Christianity is declining and disappearing. But he made the argument Christianity has always been 3 or 5 out of that group. The rest of them, at the very best, were theists believing in some sort of godly power, the force be with you, or absolutely no God at all. But you see, in England, C.S. Lewis goes on, for hundreds of years, the value of a good Englishman was being a good Christian. You were not a nobleman. You were not upper middle class. You had no sense of dignity or decorum, and you could not call yourself an Englishman if you did not go to church. And then by 1947, well, guess what? Nobody believed that Christianity was part of being English anymore. So guess what? The people who really didn't want to be there weren't there. They were at the bars and the taverns where they wanted to be in the first place. Nothing really changed. So why were those 3 or those 5 there on a daily basis? For the same reason that you're here. For the same reason that we're called and commanded by Christ to forgive. And it has to do with Noah. I'm really drawing straight with a very crooked line here today. It has to do with Noah. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? 120 years. 120 years. He's pounding away and sawing away. As Bill Cosby says, and the neighbors are out there going, what are you doing, you idiot? And for 120 years, they're telling him he's an idiot. You know, we've had rain, but we haven't had anything rain for that. Now, when was there a total flood of the earth that Noah had ever experienced? Never. Never. And the Lord God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth. And what is Noah's response? Yes, Lord. Did he ever see one of these? Did he have any idea? No. What about us? How many people have you met that have risen from the dead? When's the last time you had dinner with a person who rose from the dead? When's the last time you walked with the Lord physically, seeing Him? Yet we believe that, do we not? That's at the core of our faith. And that He's coming back for us for the great judgment. Yes? And a new heaven and a new earth. When's the last time you saw a new heaven and a new earth? So like Noah, we receive by faith the Word of God, and we trust and believe in it, and we begin to move forward toward it. Noah said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And Noah, in spite of the whole world, the laughingstock that he was, and in spite of his not having any personal experience, builds the ark day after day for 120 years. And then the day finally comes, and the rain falls, and death floods the earth. And Noah and his family is safe. Now, why did it take 120 years? Huh? What? It was a big boat, a lot of work, yeah. I'm sure his wife had other things for him to do as well, but... But the other thing on that is that it was 120 years that went out as a cry for repentance to all of mankind. God didn't say, "Hey, guess what? Surprise, you're dead. Hello, hello, tough luck, you're gone." God goes for 120 years. Take a look at Noah. Take a look at Noah. Something is happening here. It has nothing to do with your world. You've never had this experience. But listen to what Noah had. Did Noah have to go out? And First Peter talks about Noah preaching. Where does it say that Noah preached? Every day with the hammer and the saw, working with the wood, he was preaching. He was bearing witness to the truth of God. And he was calling out to them for repentance. Something is going to happen. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the truth? Do you know God? And for 2,000 years, the Christian church has been doing the same thing. Something is coming. You've never experienced it. It's nothing in your experience. It's nothing in the experience of all of human history. But it's coming. A new heaven and a new earth and the great day of our Lord. It's coming. Are you ready? Do you trust in the Lord? Well, they did it trust. They did it see. They did it listen. And they drowned. And Armageddon is coming our way like one of our semis or buses on 38 without brakes. It's coming. We don't know when, but it is coming because the Lord said so. And the great day of the resurrection is coming. We don't know when, but it is coming because the Lord said so. The new heaven and the new earth is coming, and everything we think we know will be wiped away because the Lord has said so. Do we believe? And so today the Lord calls out to us very clearly, do you believe? Then you need to work on the boat. You need to work on the ark. And your ark is the forgiveness and love of God that has been given in your life to be shared with everyone around you. Why do we need to forgive? Look at our first reading in Genesis. Because it's meant for good. Our sister, Donna, fell and broke her arm. Of course, Roger waxed the kitchen floor. And then she fell. It's kind of like Noah's Ark in reverse. And she needs some pins that she's going to have put in Thursday, and we will be praying for her. And right now, she's not here, but she's in a lot of pain. Last I heard, she can't sleep in bed. She has to sleep in a recliner because of the pain and the break. Our sister Debbie over here, struggling. George, you're struggling. Dan, you're struggling with so many things in your life. I could go on and on. Each and every one of us is struggling with this. And what does God say to us today? The same thing he said to Noah. This is incredible. Debbie, the Lord is saying to you, that's good. That's a blessing. That's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. Are you ready to leave the church? That's what he's saying. You meant this for evil. Satan means this to hurt you and crush you, but God is going to make it good. What William said was, so what? Out of this will come such blessings and goodness if we turn it to the Lord and give it to him. Wow. So that means my enemy is not my enemy. My enemy is my blessing. That means if I get a phone call or a letter in the next few weeks that I have an Internal Revenue appointment, that this is a blessing? And the answer is yes. Sure doesn't feel like it. What if I go see the doctor and find out I have cancer? This is a blessing? God means it for good. God will bring it to good. But I don't see it. In the same way that Noah had no idea of what a flood really was. And he really didn't understand what an ark really was. But he believed in the Lord, and day after day, hour after hour, he did what the Lord asked him to do. Because he believed. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And in spite of all the reason that none of this ever made sense, and it was in contradiction to what the Lord had told him previously, he goes, I will trust the Lord and I will be obedient. And our Lord Jesus Christ was obedient what? Obedient even to death on a cross. Because God would take that and bring it to goodness and blessings and righteousness. And here we are today celebrating and giving thanks for that very gift. Look at Romans. And I really, really like, I've never heard that said, I've never read that, Basil, but I was really gifted today and blessed by your comment. I had personally never made that, I knew it, but I never heard it succinctly put so well as you did today. Yes, we are in Christ. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Christ is in the Father. Father and Christ are one, right? And we hear that all the time. And we have been baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But notice what Basil said today. But we are also baptized into each other. Are you not in Christ? Am I in Christ? If you are in Christ, and if I am in Christ, then we are in Christ. Hello? Together. That means in baptism, we have become more than family, more than brothers and sisters. We have become one. One flesh. One heart. One mind. How can we judge each other? Because if we do, we end up judging ourselves, don't we, before the Lord. In Romans, for our reading today, none of us lives to himself. And none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. What that means, Debbie, is that the difficult and the pain and the struggle that you have with your leg, the Lord is having that pain with you. He's having that struggle with you. You're not alone. I would never leave you. I would never abandon you. Fear not, for I will be with you until the end of the ages. You are not alone. And what Satan wants you to believe, and each one of us, is that we've been abandoned by God. Amen? That's what Satan wants. If we live, all that happens in our lives, Dan, what's happening in your life? All that happens is to bring the glory of God to the world. We live by faith. Amen? We live by faith. And that faith is the same faith that Noah had when he's building the ark. I cannot tell you how proud I am, Debbie, to be your pastor today. Awesome. You know, it's so easy for people to find an excuse not to be here.
Oh, I've got to clean the dishes. Oh, I got to water the plant. Oh, I forgot to wash my underwear. You know, whatever it may be. And here you are struggling to get here today, and here you are to give God praise and thanks. Believe me, that comes from the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's powerful stuff, isn't it? So if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. We don't have our lives anymore. They belong to Christ. And each of us belong to Christ, and therefore we belong to each other as well. Matthew, forgive your brother from the heart. You must forgive from the heart. You are not Roman Catholic priests. It's not an office where you simply read from a book or, like we did this morning, recite some words. It's from the heart. I think that's one of the key reasons why the Catholic Church has changed the confessional rite. Now you see the face of the priest, and the priest sees you. So it begins to come from the heart. There's a relationship. There's a relationship here. In John, 1 John chapter 3, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Do you love your husbands? Do you love your wives? Do you love your family and your church? Do you love those who hurt you? While we were still enemies, he died on the cross. While we were enemies of God, amen? He died. God gave that love, the gift of his Son, while we were still in open rebellion. Anyone who does not love is dead. So we have people hopping from church to church. Oh, I don't like this person. I don't like pastor. I don't like this. I don't like that. They are not regenerated. They are not saved. They are dead. Because there is no love in their hearts. There were two brothers. And they loved each other, but they hated each other. Kind of reminds me of my daughters. Best and worst of enemies. And one of them one time almost killed the other one, almost choked him to death. So he runs into the church, drops to his knees, and goes, Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ, please, I love my brother. I never want to do this again. I never want to get this angry. I never want to ever get close to hurting my brother like this again. Save me, Lord Jesus, save me. Holy Spirit, fill my heart with love and patience and kindness. Open my ears to his cries. Teach me to love. And he walks out of the church, and there's his brother. And his brother says, you lousy jerk, you hypocrite. After what you did to me, you have the audacity to go to God? And his brother jumps on him, starts choking him again, and beats him up. This time he comes back in the church, and he's not dropping to his knees, and he stands there before the altar, and he goes, okay, Lord, what do you think you're doing? I came here in all sincerity to ask your help, and what do? The moment I walk out, there he is. And God spoke. God said, you asked me to teach you. I gave you the opportunity to practice. Christ says, pick up your cross and follow me. When do we choose our cross? And when do we choose our Golgotha? We choose it when we're called to love. And that means we are chosen by God to be there just like Noah was chosen. It's not an easy thing. If it was easy, everybody would do it. 1 Corinthians. We know that well, don't we? I may have all things. I may prophesy and speak in tongues. But I am what? A clanging gong. If I do not have love. From the heart. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. And he said, who is forgiven little loves little. He who is forgiven, he who forgives little has been loved little. We can love, finish it for me, we can love because we have first been loved by God. Amen? So guess what? Why would I not be able to forgive? Why would I not want to forgive? Why would I not desperately find a way to forgive in my heart? Because I have not been forgiven. I'm on my way to hell. That's why. If I have no mercy for those around me, including and especially my enemies and all those that offend and hinder me, I'm not saved. Luther pointed out in the scriptures, a good tree can only bear good fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit, but only bad fruit. Trees do not mix their fruits. Therefore, either I am compelled by God's love to forgive, or I do not know God. Either I live by faith, and each day I live in the celebration of my forgiveness and the love that God has given to me by forgiving and loving all those around me. But we're sinners as well, aren't we? And so what happens when I go, I don't want to do this? I drop to my knees and I ask for the Holy Spirit to give me a heart that's soft instead of hard. Stone hearts have no place in heaven. Stone hearts have no place in heaven. So what is God asking us to do? To bring a little bit of heaven, to bring the ark of salvation into the lives of everyone around us, because if we're constantly loving those who hurt us, constantly supporting them, constantly loving them, constantly being patient with them, are we not building an ark of God's glory, nail by nail, board by board, clearly stating the Lord is coming? Noah, why are you building this? Well, because the Lord told me that we're going to all drown if we don't. Something's coming. Something we've never known. It's coming. And if people ask you, why are you loving your enemy? Why are you loving? Why are you being patient? Why are you being forgiven? Why are you doing this? Because the Lord is coming. Well, I don't see why you should do this. I don't see it in life. I don't see it in human history. I don't see it any place. Why do I see it in you? Because I believe in the Lord Jesus, and He's coming. So like Noah, we are here today because the Lord is coming. And like Noah, we are here to forgive because the Lord is coming. We are to live in Christ. We are to believe that God is good at all times and all ways, in spite of whatever our hardships or whatever our cross may be. The Lord is good. The Lord will give us the nails and the wood that we need to finish the ark that He has asked us to build in our spiritual lives. Amen. Not for our salvation. That's been done through Jesus Christ. But as a preaching, a calling of repentance and the glory of God's coming to all around us. We are to have an answer for our faith. Why are you going to be patient and loving? And come on, the answer is, because our Lord is coming. Let me hear you say it. Because our Lord is coming. Amen.